are going to talk about five fundamental abilities that we are all born with that, if used, will lead us to a more fulfilled and authentic life. That's according to our guest this hour. He is the author of The Five Essentials, Using Your Inborn Resources to Create a Fulfilling Life. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's good to have you with us, and I hope you will join in as we talk about how we lead an authentic life, and we wonder what that means to you. And what's holding you back if you're not already there? 1-800-642-1234 or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. Our guest is Bob Deutsch. He's a cognitive neuroscientist, anthropologist, and the founder and president of the consulting group Brain Cells. That's with an S. His book is The Five Essentials, Using Your Inborn Resources to Create a Fulfilling Life. And he joins us by telephone. Thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks for having me, Joy. It's a pleasure.
So why did you think we needed to know about these five essentials anyway?
Well, in my consulting practice, I have the opportunity to travel around the states and even sometimes the world, talking to people from all walks of life. And I always start my conversations with a simple question. What's your life like nowadays? Simple question. And you hear an outpouring of what I would call underlying stories. Every story of every person is slightly different, of course, or sometimes very different. But there's an underlying story, and that today's life is too fast, too complex, too competitive. And in addition to that, over, I would say, the last 6, 7, 8 years, I've heard an increasing amount of people talking about feeling separated from their real self, feeling frustrated, feeling disembodied, feeling divorced from who they truly are. And I really think this is a sort of an epidemic, because this could lead to stress, depression, and simply stated, it could be just a thwarting of you living the best life you could live.
Yeah.
And the message of the book is simply, this does not have to be. There is a solution. There are solutions. And as you said, these five essentials are already in us. We don't have to go climb a mountain in a faraway country to meet a guru. We don't have to be in touch with the rhythms of the cosmos. We have to be in touch with us.
Yeah, and I want to go through right away the five essentials. But first I want to know what we mean when we say, you know, that we can create a fulfilling or authentic life. What is it that we're seeking?
We're seeking to live a life in which who and what you truly are is lived every day. Now, I'm not being idealistic here. I'm trying to be practical, but someone called me a practical idealist, and maybe that's a good term. Idealist meaning we could do this. We don't have to live too small of a life. We could live a life that really reflects who we are, and that, in effect, gives us the ability to define success, fulfillment, happiness on our own terms. Yeah. It also gives us great energy. You know, I know from my own life and from people I speak with and from people I consult with and counsel, once you start on the journey to living an authentic life and finding out what I call uncovering your self story, it's addictive. It's literally addictive because it's real, it's freeing, and it gives one great energy. You know, you're constantly going, ooh, you know, you get a surge.
Well, I can't wait. But I want to, let's start with the five essentials, the essential resources for participating fully in our lives. And number one, curiosity. Why do curious people get more out of life?
Well, first of all, I would say, you know, as I say, curiosity is inborn in us. You know, it comes with the package of being a human being. Even, you know, from the get-go, as soon as we leave the womb, we're licking our toes. You know, why do we lick our toes as infants? We're trying to find out what's me. Mm-hmm. You know, what are my boundaries? What are my sensitivities? How do I feel? What makes me feel? But curiosity, more as an adult, by that I mean, don't just stick with the habitual ways of doing things. Don't just stick with the stereotyped behaviors and sort of rituals of everyday life. Now, rituals are very important, but if you only stick, as the saying goes, in your comfort zone, you're never going to really discover more about you. When you step out and explore beyond what's given, what's business as usual, then you start finding out more about, one, how the world works, and more importantly, how you work.
And we'll talk more about how we can tap into these five essentials as we go along, but let's get them on the table first.
Sure.
Number two, openness. How does being open help us find new opportunities?
Open is critical. It's just critical. If I had to pick one, I would say openness is big-time stuff. And I would say it simply. Openness means not having to know the end of something at the beginning. You know, you don't have to have every step and every minutia and every detail of everything you do worked out beforehand. You know, again, be open to surprise. Explore. See what comes. You know, I've done a lot of work with small business owners around the country. And from that work, I've developed a concept which is central in the book, which I call directed serendipity, which means I have a plan, I enact a plan, the plan meets up with the world, and all hell breaks loose, and that's what I love. Mm-hmm. You know? If you just set a course, a linear course, A, B, C, D, E, solution, it's, first of all, it's not realistic because the world doesn't work that way.
Mm-hmm.
And two, it's not vitalizing. It's just an enactment of a script.
If
you live this life of directed serendipity, you know, you learn at every juncture something about what excites you, what repels you, what attracts you, what interests you. And you use that to start uncovering what is really you, because you sort of have to ask yourself a question. To get to your real, authentic self, to get to your self story, you have to ask yourself, what am I doing when I feel most right? What am I doing when I feel most real? And, you know, what am I doing when I feel most happy?
Boy, I love to think about that as we're going along. Let's put number three of the five essentials on the table. Sensuality. Now, what do you mean by that?
That underlies almost everything. By sensuality, I simply mean feeling your five senses and letting yourself experience your own experience of your own experience. You know, meaning don't flatline. Don't live in the blah middle. Really try to feel and register and account for what you're feeling moment to moment. You know, because that's really where the revelatory cues are and clues to who we are. They tell us what's going on inside us. You know, I'll give you an example. For some years ago, I wrote about this in the book. I saw a movie, a documentary called Ladies and Gentlemen, The Rolling Stones. And it was a documentary about a concert tour of the Rolling Stones. So I liked the Rolling Stones. But I finished that movie and sat in my chair in the theater for maybe 5 minutes afterwards, because I just got the feeling of such energy, such power. And it was because, like, okay, I'm seeing someone, for me, like in the name of Mick Jagger, he's doing really who he is, and he loves it, and he gets energy from it. You know, I mean, how could a person his age now do what he does? Because, you know, he really experiences his own life, his reality of his own life, his own reality as a being on stage. And that energy, to me, was contagious. So I walk through life thinking about that kind of energy. How do I get that each day? Now, sometimes I don't. You know, but I'm working towards it, and I know what's getting me there, and I know what's thwarting me.
Now, we have paradox as the fourth of the fifth essentials. What is paradox, and how does it enhance our success in life?
Well, paradox, especially now, given the speed and complexity of the world, paradox recognizes that nothing is all of one piece anymore. Everything has contradictions, everything has ambiguities, everything has ironies. And instead of looking at those kind of things as obstacles, I think we should look at them as gifts. Because if we try to attempt to understand the dynamics and the feelings underneath those contradictions, in ourselves even, then we discover new things about ourselves and how to explore and make better the things that that contradiction uncovers. I'll give you an example. I once met a woman some years ago, and we went out for lunch together after a business meeting, and she said to me, "Bob," this is the way she said it, she said, "Bob, you are the most opinionated person in the world, but also you're the most open." And I thought about that. No one ever said that to me before, mm-hmm. of course. And when I thought about it, I thought, really, she's captured some essence of me. And it's a seeming contradiction, but in a sense, it's not, in terms of how I live it. I mean, I have opinions, but I love to be open and hear other people's thoughts and opinions, because that helps me learn, one, and two, it helps me learn about myself in terms of how I respond to those other people's opinions, and that lets me grow. And I'm really interested in growing, in a sense. And that's, in a sense, part of my self story. If I could go to self story.
Yeah, let's you call that the queen of all essentials. What?
Yes,
why
the
is the self?
Yeah. The other essentials are sort of in the service of creating your self story. Because, you know, it's typical to say we want to be happy, we want to be successful, we want to be fulfilled. And that's true. But what underlies being able to do that? And what underlies being able to do that is living, knowing what your true self is and living that. So to find your self story is the wellspring of life, really.
How do we uncover our self-story?
Well, you have to ask yourself, what are the recurrent themes and patterns and feelings in your life? Self-story is not a chronicle or a CV listing of your events in your life and your achievements. Self-story is about how you feel about these underlying and recurrent themes and patterns in your life, how you feel about them, what you make of them, how you think they came to be, and how you develop the best of even the negative aspects of your self-story. And everyone has negative aspects of their self-story.
Can you help an example of what a recurrent pattern or theme would be that would be a
sure.
part of a self-story?
Absolutely. I'll tell you something about my own self-story. And shows you how self-story really flows from the intersection of memory, emotion, and imagination. Okay, so my self-story is part and parcel developed. In fact, the first sentence in my book says, this book began before I even knew language. It began when I was born, and I was born severely premature and spent many months in an incubator. And that's, of course, where I didn't have language yet, right? I was a newborn.
Mm-hmm.
But that incident has created a force in my life which still lives with me and guides me every day. And it comprises a couple of themes. One is I'm a participant and an observer at the same time. You know, I was placed in this box that I could see out of, and I'm in the world, but I'm somewhat separated from the world. So I've made that into a story of that. That helped me become a good participant observer. Okay. Another aspect of being an incubator for me was it's a visceral, raw sense of being when you're a premature baby. You just feel everything heightened. And I've sort of felt that's good, you know? Let yourself feel. Thirdly, it's life is short. I had a sense, a visceral sense of being in a very precarious state as a premature baby. And I had this feeling of life is short, make every day work. And finally, I took living in that small box metaphorically and said to myself as I grew up, you know, I'm never going to live in too small of a box. I'm going to go for the biggest box I could be that's really me. So this is not a made-up story. This is this is a story that, in one sense, it's a crazy story. In another sense, it's absolutely true and rock solid in how it propels me through life. So that's an example of an aspect of a self story.
I need to take a break. So let listeners join in as well. We are talking about the five essentials, using your inborn resources to create a fulfilling life. Our guest is the author of this book, Bob Deutsch, and we welcome your questions for him about these five essentials and how we can tap into them. And we'll talk a little bit more about how we can uncover our own self story and how knowing that self story is going to lead to a more successful, a happier, a more fulfilling life. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. So again, the five essentials are curiosity, openness, sensuality, paradox, and self-story. We'll talk in more detail when we come back. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine, talking today to Bob Deutsch. He is a cognitive neuroscientist, an anthropologist, and the author of The Five Essentials, Using Your Inborn Resources to Create a Fulfilling Life. And again, those five essentials, those inborn resources are curiosity, openness, sensuality, paradox, and the most important self-story. Bob Deutsch, I would just want to follow up a little bit more on self-story. Can we be wrong about our self-stories? How do you know that your time in the incubator caused you to feel this way?
I don't think a self-story can be wrong if it's authentic, because if it serves its purpose, which is, you know, in the deepest part of your being that this is one essential force that drives you every day, every minute to try to do who you are, then it's right.
Yeah, I will say that I know that I share one of those essential forces, that life is short theme, because I lost parents and loved ones at a very young age.
Same for me.
Yeah. So you do, and when that happens, you do think, I've got to live life to the fullest.
That's right. And for those of us who are lucky enough not to have lost a loved one early in life, the same dictum applies, because no matter how long life is short.
Right.
And life and time goes so quickly. You know, days turn into years, turn into decades in a flash. And you look back and you say, some of us say, what have I done? Or let me give you an example. I firstly talked to a gentleman who read my book and is actually trying to apply it in his own life. And he's seemingly successful. He has a good job. He's good at it. He seems happy, objectively speaking. But he says to me, Bob, your book and your teachings are very helpful to me, but because they make me think about, quote, how early in my life did I get separated from who I truly am. So it's not that you have to be, in a sense, unsuccessful or dissatisfied, objectively speaking, in terms of how the world views you. You have to be internally fulfilled to live a successful, fulfilled life. And this book, I think, doesn't tell you how to do it. No one can. You have to do it for yourself. But it does guide you in terms of how to recognize and use the five essentials to uncover your true self story.
Yeah, and we will talk more about the process that you lay out in the book that we can use to find our own self stories. But we have some callers, so let me go to Cody in Oshkosh who has a question or a comment. Hi, Cody.
Hi there. Yeah, I think this is very interesting how we live our lives through a self story or a narrative. And it's not just the facts, but it allows our experience to guide our world views, and how this kind of follows how a novel is written or made to work with plot and twists and turns. And like I said, it's not just the facts of our life, but how we see that is very important. But I also like this idea where he said he was opinionated but open. And I think that's, people are so inhibited to discuss how they really feel about themselves or about the world. And we all kind of hide away from each other instead of getting out and exploring that. And I think this book sounds very important.
Yeah. So how important is it that we discuss this, Bob Deutsch?
Well, I thank the caller. I think he makes excellent points. One is, you can make your life into a narrative that is exciting, not necessarily in the spectacle sense of the word, but exciting to you. You know, it's an adventure, it's a discovery, and in another sense, as I've written, you know, everyone is fighting monsters, big and small. And we all live at two planes of existence at the same time. One is the mundane level, and the other is the majestic level, the epic level, the mythic level. And we have to recognize that level, too, and how to engage in it to live what I call in the book an iconic life, a life that's iconic of you. Not of me, not of Mick Jagger, not of anybody else, but find out the true nature of yourself, bring that forth, explore that, and develop it. And it's never ending. You know, once the ideal of the self story is, every destination is a stepping stone to the next. So it's constantly evolving. You constantly learn about yourself.
We'll go next to Scott in Onalaska. Hi, Scott.
Hi, good morning.
Morning.
This was very, very interesting. And all I did was, you know, in the car for 5 minutes, flip on the radio, and I hear this, and I think to myself that over my life, I've found that anytime you have opportunity, if you take the opportunity, that's going to guide you to where you're going to end up. It's kind of like fate. I recall taking a quick summer night job with one of my roommates in college, and because of that job, I then met my wife. You see, if you put yourself in the right position, and those instances, I think, can help guide you through life. I have business contacts that I've met over 25 years ago, simply because I went to a dinner with my boss to try to meet other people. And I'm still in business with those people to this day. I don't know if this is relatable or not, but I just thought that was an interesting comment.
Is that sort of like your directed serendipity, Bob Deutsch?
Yes, it is something like that. And again, I really appreciate the caller's comments because he really puts his finger on a number of issues. One is this idea of opportunity. You know, I talk a little bit in the book about Mark Twain, the great American writer and humorist. And, of course, Mark Twain's real name was Samuel Clemens. But he took the name Mark Twain as a pen name because he was once a riverboat captain. And Mark Twain is a phrase from riverboating. It sort of denotes finding the place in the river current where you can make the best time. So he said it's like the point at which you ride the cusp between safety and risk, and that's where you should live your life. So, and that's where you should live your life, because that provides opportunity, surprise, discovery, adventure, and sometimes, not all the time, something really fantastic, like this gentleman was just saying, comes of it. You know, yeah. Life is not linear. Anyone that tells you, if you want to find your passion, well, sit down and make a plan, you know, and say, carve it up into little steps, A, and then B, and then C, and then D, and you'll eventually get to your destination. I think that's ridiculous.
Yeah, you know, well, Scott had some interesting points, and I think about that a lot, too, that whole... You know, the old saw about if you miss a bus, you can change your life. But he was talking about he took a night job, an opportunity, and met his future wife and business contacts, and I thought, is that really tapping into his five essentials, or is he just a lucky guy?
Well, in a sense, it's both. You know, you have luck, and you make luck.
Yeah.
You know, you have to sort of rummage around a little bit in life beyond just your little cocoon to have luck and to make luck.
You know, a lot of these five essentials, we know that successful people are hard workers, they're motivated, they're creative and so on. Do we really need these five essentials in order to be happy?
Well, I think you need the five essentials to be happy on your own terms, not so much to be happy in terms of buying into the systems and the definitions those systems decree that we usually live with, but what is really success, happiness, fulfillment, joy, vitality to you as a person?
Mm-hmm.
It might not be what I define it as, and that's great.
Well, what we should do, and I'm just trying to dig a little bit deeper, is to talk how these five essentials actually help us become more fulfilled. But how do we tap into them? How do we become more curious, for example?
Well, the first thing is use your sensuality, you know. You do meet, no matter if you think of yourself as curious or not, whether you live in a small, too small of a life or don't right now. You are experiencing moment to moment, day to day. Well, how do you feel about things? You know, we have feelings every second of every day. I have feelings right now about the interview. You have feelings about the interview. Your callers have feelings about what they're hearing and what they're thinking about. And those are what I would call revelatory clues to who we are. They tell us about, you know, what we're attracted to, what we're repelled to, what we are interested in, what gets us excited, what we want to learn more about. And to get under the hood, so to speak, of life, that's curiosity. To, you know, not just accept the given, not just accept the typical, not just accept the superficial or the surface, but get under the hood, get under the guts of life in any situation, and you could, that will allow you, through your own senses, to see more about how you feel, what you feel, and why you feel that way. And that's the beginning of the journey.
And you said to use one essential, sensuality, to tap into another, curiosity.
Yes, and they all work that way. They're all intermingled that way. It's a kaleidoscope.
Yeah. We are talking about this kaleidoscope. We're talking about the five essentials, using your inborn resources to create a fulfilling life. Our guest is Bob Deutsch. He is the author of this book. And our number, if you have a question or an example, perhaps, of how you tapped into one of your, all of your essentials to create a more fulfilling life, 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. You can also post on the Joy Cardine Show Facebook page. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. We are talking about the five essentials. The book is by Bob Deutsch, and he is a cognitive neuroscientist, anthropologist, founder and president of the consulting group Brain Cells. That's cells with an S. Talking about how we tap into these five essentials, what they are, why they're important, and how we can learn to live the life that we choose to live. 1-800-642-1234, or send an email to talk@wpr.org. We have many callers now, so let's go to Randy in Madison. Hi, Randy.
Good morning. What a great show. So regarding what your guest is saying, a number of years back, probably close to 20 years ago, my boss and I were both fired on the same day from a company out of Milwaukee. And my boss and I sat down and had some lunch together that day, and he said, "Well, Randy, why don't you start your own company? Because I was so good at what I did." And because the thought had not crossed my mind before. And so I did, almost 20 years ago, and I've been self-employed ever since and very happy and very successful.
Well, reaction to that, Bob Deutsch?
Yes, it's, again, not in every instance, but in many, many instances, a seeming negative can be turned into a positive. Maybe not instantly, but if you work at it and you find out, okay, so in this case, I'm free of a job, so how do I create a job? What am I really interested in? What am I really good at? What really gets me up in the morning? Then you can enrich your life that way instead of just going through the motions. You know, there's a Gallup poll report from June of this year stating that 70% of Americans either hate their job or have, quote, checked out in place. That is astonishing. And doesn't, as I say in the book, doesn't have to be. You know, if you really find out something, allow yourself to uncover something about yourself, even in place, in an unhappy job situation, for example, you could begin by just making little pockets of time to explore something about yourself. You just, in most cases, let's be realistic, a person just can't get up and say, well, I'm not happy at this job, I'm leaving. You know, we need an income, and we're happy to be employed. But even in that context, you could use the five essentials to, as I say, sculpt out, dig out spaces in time and place where you can begin to discover more about you, begin to discover things that make you happy and feeling vital, and grow that while in place. And then eventually, maybe you'll get to a place where that's the life you live in general.
Our next caller is Elizabeth in Milwaukee. Hi, Elizabeth. What's your story?
I just want to say thank you so much, because I can get in a rut. And what happens is that I find myself, a lot of times I do road trips. I never do the same route. I never use GPS. I planned on going to the Badlands. I was open instead of going to the northern part. I just stayed open. I went to the southern part, and I ended up on the Pine Ridge Reservation. Never planned that. I went to a powwow. Never planned that. I camped there. And then on the way home, I saw this off-the-beaten-road. Nobody's around, and I was by myself, and I love doing this stuff. I ran into a sheep herder. His name was Al. I talked to him for about a half hour. All these sheep, there were about 1,200 of them. He just let out. They surrounded my car, and they were all, you know, making bad noises, really loud. And the border collie was there, and he was taking them to the Bighorn Mountains. And you can't GPS that. It was like something that I just decided to do and stay open. It's kind of like what I'm hearing. And when I do things like that, I feel stronger about myself. I feel like I've learned a lot. And you can't recreate that. Like, I can't go back to that road and Alan, the border collie. It's like being open to every different kind of a road trip, and I love it.
I love that story, Elizabeth. Now I want to go on a road trip without my GPS. So what do you think, Bob?
I mean, it's a great story for another reason, too. It brings up something that we hear in all the callers and in my experiences of talking to people around the country and the world also, and that is when you're open and you're out there discovering and you're not living this predetermined linear existence, it's not only you meet up with interesting circumstances oftentimes, it's that at every point that you do meet up, you're using your five essentials to sort of register that, consider that, feel that, and that sort of angles you into a slightly different direction than you were on to begin with. So it's at every point that you have an experience, it changes your tangent. It changes the angle of your direction. And that's how you iterate and really get underneath and find out more about uncovering your self story.
Now, I might sound like I'm nitpicking, but I'm really just thinking on how I use this in my life. I actually do sometimes use that GPS. I plot that trip. I want to see the Badlands, and then I want to see Yellowstone, and I want to see this beautiful site and this historic site and experience this part of culture. And I only have, you know, my 1 week vacation. And so but I enjoy it. I like that. It fulfills me to do it that way. So it's different for me than it is for Elizabeth.
I don't think so. What I'm saying is whether you set the course before or don't, at every point in the journey or the trip, you're allowing yourself to feel, to be curious about what you feel and see and do, mm-hmm, and grow from that.
Let's go next to Julie in Galesville. Hello, Julie.
Oh, hi. This is great. I love all the comments. I wanted to touch on when he said Mick Jagger. That just really caught me because I've always been attracted to people like that as well. He was kind of my hero in high school. And what it is I just really like people who do exactly what this man said, that they're just out there totally themselves. It's the life they're living. So I'm kind of attracted to opinionated, arrogant people, and yet they drive me nuts, you know. And I realized, and the thing was, later on then, when I had kids, you know, you come out of your teenagers, I really put myself into a box of conservativeness, because it's like, oh no, Mick Jagger, he's sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I can't present that to my kids. So I went to two extremes. And now I really feel I've come into the balance of it, because I realize I still, you know, I'm attracted to those people. I am that person. You know, I want to be flamboyant, but I'm kind of flamboyant for, well, I was attracted to Jesus Christ is the thing, because he overturned authority. He overturned religious authority. Mm-hmm. So that's kind of my realm there, is I respect Jesus. I love Jesus. I believe he's God. And yet I love that he overturns the authority of oppressive religion, because my deepest desire is to free people, let them go, you know, into their own freedom and become themselves, so they can be whatever it is, you know, because I just love flamboyant people. I love people who love being themselves.
Was she tapping into paradox there, Bob Deutsch?
Yes, exactly. That's what I was thinking, too. You know, we're all not a uniform bundle of consistent operations. We all have complexities and contradictions, and that's a beautiful part of the story, so to speak, of living and of one's life. And even if you look at all the characters that we're attracted to in literature, in the movies, they all have essential paradoxes. People have been writing about Marlon Brando forever, for example, as tough and tender. You know, Elvis Presley, sacred and profane. And literally, if you look at anything that captures our attention, there's always an essential paradox to it, because the essential paradox is part and parcel of what captures our attention. Because one, it's real. Two, it makes it gives us a sense that we could see ourselves in it, because deep down we know ourselves as a bundle of contradictions. But the thing I'm trying to say is, don't look at that as a problem. Look at that as an opportunity, as a gift, as a way to explore the tensions between the opposites and see what else you could discover from that.
It reminds me of when my a brother once told me I was a bundle of contradictions, and I think he meant it as an insult, and you're saying I should be complimented by that.
Exactly. I think you should call him up immediately and say thank you.
So Jeffrey and Hazel Green emails, what role does spirituality play in the five essentials?
Spirituality, that's an interesting and good question. I would say it's a byproduct of living your true self. I mean, when you're really at that cusp of living at the point of what you could call becoming, okay, then you're in touch with the eternal in the present moment. That's to me the essence of spirituality. It's not just believing in the religious system that's out there and given to us that we could partake in. It's finding it from within and bringing it forth.
You know, before...
And I should say one other thing, Joy,
mm-hmm.
if it's okay. Another thing that living your true self story gives you and allows you to be is, I used the word before, it gives you a certain vitality, okay? But there's a payoff here that has to do with spirituality, I think, and that is a vital life vitalizes everything around it, okay? So there's a social mm-hmm. function. There's a social good to living your authentic self. Because you're more energized, you're more open, you're more alive to everything. And people around you pick up on that energy, and they can be lifted from that.
Yeah, that's good.
And I have beautiful stories about that. The last chapter in the book is on vitality. And there's some really beautiful stories about all of us helping each other to live a more vital life.
And we are running out of time, and we do have some other callers, but I did want to at least touch on the process we can use to find our own self stories. You write, always be on your way home.
Yes.
Why should we always be on our way home, and how do we find that destination?
Well, that's from a quote from Bob Dylan. He said, I was born very far away from where I was supposed to be born. I'm always on my way home. And, of course, it's a beautiful poetic sentiment. And what I mean by that is one of the keys to living a life of fulfillment and an expanded sense of self is to have a clear sense of your destination without ever reaching your destination. You know what I mean? That might sound like a paradox and a contradiction in itself, but if you master this process of always being on your way home, it really is revelatory. Being open and being curious about what you sense, how you feel moment to moment, that all will place you on a continuous quest to learn more about yourself and the person you were meant to be. So as I said, you have to ask yourself certain questions. You know, where is home? How do I get there? Am I headed home now, doing what I'm doing at this moment? And most importantly, what am I doing when I feel most right, most real, most myself, most happy? That gives you big insight into the underlying structure of your self story.
I think we have time.
Anyone's self story is it's like an infrastructure in a city. You know, everything organizes itself around that. It's like the roads are built, and then everything organizes itself around that. It's a basis of your existence, whether you know it or not. You could be living an inauthentic story. You could be living a random story. You could be living a story that's not yours, but you're living a story. A story simply means, in one sense, a recurrency.
Let me bring one last caller on before we run out of time, Bob. And Mike in Milwaukee, can you be brief, please, Mike?
Yes. I was wondering if the professor could comment on the paradox of enlightened regret in our self-narratives, because given the entailed ambiguity of outcome accompanying many of the choices that we regret having made, I think it's important to have the wisdom to understand that different choices, including opposite choices, may have led to different regrets.
Yeah, and I'm sorry, we have only 30 seconds to quickly touch on that, Bob.
Yes, I think it's an excellent point, too, regret. I have a story in the book about regret, a personal story of my own, and how I used it for a positive effect. And it came about because I saw that movie, Beasts of the Southern Wild, that were up for Academy Award last year, about a young child who was had lost her mother and is in the process of losing her father. And it helped me understand some things I didn't do well and regretted about when I lost my father when I was 7 years old.
Yeah.
So there's the self-story is always alive, and there's always opportunity to evolve it.
Thank you so much for being with us. Bob Deutsch is the author of The 5 Essentials, Using Your Inborn Resources to Create a Fulfilling Life. Thanks to Christy Taylor for producing and on-air production during this hour, and thanks to Bill Martins for on-air direction. Thank you for listening. I'm Joy Cardine. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.